celebrating Mother's Day and all of our mothers, but also, why am I so loud? Am I really loud? I can whisper. Do you want me to whisper? No whispering. So, the last week I was at a church and they turned the mic off on me. It's like, okay. Jesus, we're also celebrating that this is when Jesus ascended. So he was alive again, you know, he came back to life. And he was around for, I think it was 40 days, something like that. And then he says to his disciples, he gives them this great commission that he wants us to go out and make disciples of all nations. And he says, I'm going to be with you. And then he goes up. He's gone. They're just, and in Acts it talks about how they're just looking up there. A couple of guys behind them like, what are you doing look up there? Like, you got things to do. But Jesus went, so we don't have him here physically, but he sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us so that we don't just have Jesus walking around somewhere on in the entire planet. We have God living inside of us so that wherever we go, he is right there with us. And he is working inside of us. He is renewing us. He is transforming us. It's amazing all the things that God is doing for us. Another good scripture is in Psalm 119. It says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. And it says a few verses later, my heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. But isn't that what we want? We want our hearts to be truly set on God, not just to that we follow this guy physically or whatever, but that we really, that our hearts are set on him, that we want to live our lives for him. And that's how we best are making disciples, by the way that we live. And in John 8:12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We don't have to walk in darkness with God because he is the light of the world. Let's pray. Lord, as I speak, I ask that you would have me say the words you want me to say and nothing else, but that we would each have open hearts and minds, that we'd be really listening to whatever it is that you want to say to each of us. You know, not paying attention to what you might be wanting to say to the person next to us, but that we would simply want to know who you want us to be in you. That we would be have less and less darkness in us, Lord, but we would be filled more and more with the light that you offer us, all of the love that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If Jesus is the light of the world, It'd be hard to, like, walk in darkness, wouldn't it? Like, if you're actually following the light of the world, you can't really be in darkness. But in the world, isn't it? It's like, it's kind of like walking in darkness sometimes. You ever have to make a decision? And, anybody not like making decisions? I hate making decisions. There's a few things I know. Like, I don't like coffee. If you offer me coffee, I don't have to think too hard. I don't want it. Maple syrup. Now, I'll have a little drink of maple syrup. That sounds good to me. No coffee. But most of the time, when I have to make a decision, it's like almost like you're walking in darkness. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what God wants me to do. Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, it'd be handy if you just send an angel down, so then the angel could just tell me word for word, you know, and you're doing this step. And then the next step, when this happens, now you do that. You know, that's the cue. Just thorough instructions. He doesn't give that to me. So I guess we have to follow him. But also, when you're driving at night, I don't like driving at night either. At night, you have your headlights, and they light the way for you. But it's kind of like God, too, because he doesn't give you all the answers all at once. And he doesn't give you all the steps. He kind of just lights the way, like, this is all you need to see right now. This is all that you need to focus on. And usually it's more than enough for us to focus on. And if we think it's not, like that's not enough, you know, I can handle way more than that, No, you can't. Maybe you're not doing your job hard enough. Maybe you're just, you know, sorely mistaken. But sometimes there's a reason why he only lights up so much, because maybe we need to focus on that. And maybe we also don't want to see what's further. You know, sometimes we see too many obstacles, and you decide that you don't want to do this. It doesn't sound like a good idea. But as you're driving, as you're moving forward, following God, he continues to light the way, doesn't he? He always lights the way more and more as you walk in faith. You can keep on going. You can see a sign that says bridge out. That's okay. You know, you got to keep on following as God wants you to follow. It doesn't matter if it's a dead end road. If God says keep going, it's just like when the Israelites on two occasions when they'd get to some water and God would split that water so that they could walk through on dry ground. It doesn't matter if you see a dead end. But, you know, if you see it, it's a dead end from far enough away, you might be just like, no, that doesn't make sense. God, I'm going to do this instead. God wants us to do what he wants, whether it makes human sense or not. Human sense isn't always worth very much, you know. You know, we think that money is, maybe it's not everything, but it's pretty important. No, let's go with God's sense. It's way better. But the world, it can be filled with darkness. But when we're following God, he is going to light the way, and he will help us through any difficulties that we see. But God doesn't just say that he's the light of the world. In Matthew 5, 4 or 5, I have a typo here somewhere. It's one of those chapters. In Matthew, it says, "You are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You ever, turn on a lamp and then, like go stick it in the closet, close the door? Anybody ever do that? No, not a single person? Nothing like that? No, you turn on a light so that you can see. That's kind of the point of it. It says, "You are the light of the world." Jesus is the light of the world. We can't ever get mistaken. But he also makes us the light of the world also. He wants to shine through us. He wants to use us to show people how good God is. But he has made us the light of the world. We are children of God. We are saved by him. We are transformed and renewed by him. He makes us the best version of ourselves that we could ever be. It's like if you light a match, you know, God lights your match, but you're not just supposed to stay there waiting for something else to happen, because that match is going to run out. You know, matches, they always make them so short. But, you know, you can get the long ones. That's still, it's only so long. That's going to keep on burning. You know, I could have brought some matches in here today, but we've seen how it goes when I'm playing with water up here. We don't, we'll just stop there. So, yeah, but when God lights our match, or let's say he lights our candle, you know, that candle, we can say, you know, that's not very bright. Like, Lord, can't you do anything more? But God's like, no, that's all the light you need. You just got to walk in faith. You know, if you think you need all these other things, well, not really. All you need is God. That's what he tries to tell us. All we need is him. And we get so mixed up as human beings, thinking, well, we need this, and this needs to be worked out. And God is always just trying to remind us, you don't need all that. It's okay. God is going to work everything out. And often he works things out way better than we could have even thought. The older I get, the more times I go through the book of Esther, the more I'm like, wow, hey, God is the mastermind of that whole story. The way he orchestrated every detail. It's like, whoa, God was doing this and this and this. And it all comes together. But we just need to remember, all we need is God. And so as soon as he lights that match, you know, get moving because time's a ticking. But also, like, even if it's just one candle and you have that one candle, He has stuff to do. He has stuff that he wants us to do. He always has stuff for us to do. Sometimes people think like, well, there's nothing that he wants me to do in this season of life right now. Or, sometimes as they get older, they think, well, I've done what I can do. And no. What are we thinking of like what we can do physically for God? No, it's what God can do through us. He always, whatever season of life that we are in, whatever challenges we are facing, it does not matter. He has a plan for us right where we are, whatever situation we're in. He has a plan for us to be the light of the world. And also, with those candles, he doesn't give us spotlights for a reason. It's not about us. It's not about what we can do. He lights the candle for this person and they got a real big candle. No. He wants to light the candle for each one of us. You ever been to a Christmas candlelight service? Yeah, people fill in the room with candles. That can really light up the room quite a bit, because it's when we come together, when we serve together, not just as Mosaic Church here, but as the global church all around the world, we are God's people. He is the light of the world, and He has made us the light of the world too. We are to shine His light, not our light, His light. That's what we're supposed to be shining. Together, that is when we shine brightest, and that's when we can see most clearly. People think that they can follow God and then do their own thing the rest of the week, or they follow God certain times of the year. Some people, they just go to service for a couple times a year, but there's more to it, isn't it? There's so much more. It's when we come together, we're encouraging each other. When we come together, we're helping each other figure out how to get through life, right? Life can be difficult, but the more we try to do it on our own, the worse it goes. We might think it looks like if you're going to do something right, you got to do it yourself. But really, it's when we come together as Christians, when we come together under God, following Him, all of us looking to Him, that's when we're able to do so much more. That's when we're really able to live life to the fullest, living life the way that He wants us to. It's coming together that we are the church, where we are the body of Christ. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. You just can't hide it. You can be miles away and be like, what's that light over there? Man, that's bright. Neither do people put a lamp... light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Everybody can see, not just the one person who turned on that lamp. It's everybody in the house. If you walk in that room, you can see. You ever have somebody that when you're around this person, it's as if they just like light things up? You can see clearly, or maybe they lift up the room, lifting up the spirits and everything. Like, you just feel better when you're around this person. It, almost as if they're radiating something, like the light of the world perhaps. But you have this one person, it's like when you are around them, you know they're going to work things out. You know they're going to help you. That's what God wants to do for all of us, but He wants to do that through us to other people also. That when we have our candles, it's not that nobody else can see. It's not like it's a candle, like a fire that only I can see or you can see. It's something that wherever we go, people can see we have this light. They're like, oh, you can see that there. Like, they can see the same things you can see. They might not see everything that we see, but the more we have this light, the more we have God's light that He puts in inside of us, we can see, but so can other people. They can see too. What do I have here? Every time I'm working on a sermon, it's a new adventure. And sometimes, like today, I printed off two different sermons. Jim is always asking me, Tyler, you got a title? You got a scripture? I'm like, I got to make sure I don't mess this up. God's got to have His way. He wants me to preach something, and I got to figure it out. And I'm like, I just print both. I don't know. God's got a plan. Let's print it both because, you know, it's with the whole Bible. That's when we can really see clearly, right? Not just picking certain excerpts. It's the whole thing. We need all the God we can get. And if you haven't figured that out for yourself, I figured that out for myself already. I need all of God that I can get. Thinking about when I'm at school, because I do substitute teaching, I realize I've been doing that for 7 years now. I'm about to finish my seventh school year at school. I haven't gotten out of school yet. But the students there, they know I'm a Christian. A lot of them know I'm a pastor. For a whole bunch of them, I was their pastor. And now that I'm going around to different churches, I've actually had a few other ones. And actually, something weird, because now I know what I'm doing with my life is not the most, doesn't make the most sense. But it seems like when I stopped working full-time at a church, it's like I had all these teens that I poured into for going on 5 years. And then when God told me, okay, now I want you to do something else right now, it's like, yeah, I still have those relationships with all those teens that I got to know. But it's like I got to minister to so many others in other ways that I was not able to when I was a full-time pastor. It's like he's given me so many more opportunities that I simply wasn't having before. God always has a plan. Didn't make sense, but I'm like, Lord, I'll do whatever you say. I guess I'll do it. I'm sure it'll be good. And he has used this season of my life to do other things. But so used to be one of the main names that they would call me at school, you know, other than Mr. Hardy, was Pastor Tyler or PT. Now the most common one that they call me, I don't come up with these names either. They call me Holy Hardy. I'm not that good. God is, you know, he's the one who makes us holy. It's not about Hardy over here. Holy Hardy this, Holy Hardy that. I can't, and it's not going away. I might have to wait a couple more years till some more of these guys graduate and they come up with a different name for me. But they had Holy Hardy one day in class, and somebody's like, I'm teaching notes that day. And they're like, What now, these guys, they're so unchurched. The question that they're trying to ask is, what's your favorite verse? They don't even know how to ask it in the way that, like, our Christian lingo that we have. Like, we have Christian jargon that we just say things. How many people know jargon? You know, am I already, is jargon itself a jargon? I don't know. But, you know, we have ways that we say things. They don't even, some of them don't even know what a Bible verse is. But they're like, what's your favorite line in the Bible? I think that's how they worded it. And I'm like, my favorite Bible verse? Well, we're going through notes today. So, I can't just teach the Bible. I'm not allowed to do that. I'll get kicked out of there for good if I do that. So I'm like, I can't answer that. We're doing notes right now. That's off topic. And sometimes I have to tell them, you know, what you're saying is just off topic. So, I keep going through these notes, but they keep asking, like, they want to know what my favorite line in the Bible is. I'm like, I can't do this right now. Well, we get the homework passed out, and then they're still asking. Not every student talks, but you get enough students throughout the room, and it's like the whole room is talking. It's as if the whole class was trying to get me to answer questions. And at like 50%+ of the students in that room were trying to get me to talk about God. And I'm like, this is a real good way for them to never see me here again. But now they're working on homework, and I have a group of them. They're like, no, come on, tell us, what is your favorite line? I'm like, okay. So, I said the one from Philippians, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. And he's like, oh, that's a good one. You know, wait, say that, tell me again. And so I said it, like, three or four times. And I'm like, you're just going to have to look it up. Okay, I'm not supposed to be teaching this. You look it up. This is the reference. And he's like, okay. And I'll go across it. And then they're asking me over here. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, no. Hey, everybody be quiet. He's going to tell us his favorite line. I'm like, you can't do that. You can't. And somebody else is like, stop that. You're going to get him fired. He can't teach that. It's like, but they were asking all sorts of stuff. They're like, was Jesus perfect? Does God forgive murder? Is this a sin? Is that a sin? I watch your videos online, they tell me. That's nice. Great. What's your favorite Bible verse, of course, was the main question that day. But they just keep asking questions. I could not get this class to stop talking about God. I couldn't get them to stop. But and a lot of them, I have no idea how open they are to anything about God or any religion at that, really. But I couldn't get them to stop. And, don't tell everybody this, about this, but, you know, I was thinking I might get called down to the office at some point after this one. I never did. Nobody said anything. I try to handle everything the ways that I'm supposed to handle it, but at the same time, I can't get them to stop talking about God. And when we are allowing God to use us as the light of the world, people see this. They see God through us. You know, they might not always agree with Holy Hardy giving them homework. I just follow the notes the teachers give me. I just do what I'm supposed to do. But then sometimes they get upset with me. I'm like, you're not supposed to have phones in school. And they're like, well, I'm like, put your phone away. If you don't put your phone away, I'm supposed to take it. I was supposed to take it the first time. And then they get upset with me when I got to take their phone. Yet I'm still their favorite substitute teacher. I don't know. Sometimes I get concerned because if I'm the favorite, does that mean I'm not hard enough on them? But other times I think maybe it's just God shining his light through me, using me to be the light in the community that I wasn't necessarily asking to be. But whatever we do, we have to say, Lord, help me to do as you want me to do. Help me to live that life that when people look at me, they can see you. Because it's not about us. It's not about the light that we have. It's not about us having a spotlight. It's about God being the light of the world and using us to be the light of the world too. Because so many people, they can relate to different people. So people that can relate to me, they might not relate to you. People that relate to you, they might not relate to me. They're like, I can't stand Holy Hardy. I can't take that guy. He comes to Mosaic once a month. Oh my goodness, just but like different people relate to different people. And it's like testimony. Sometimes people are like, well, my testimony's too common. Good. Yeah, common, fantastic, because it's incredible and encouraging to hear amazing testimonies that people have, stories of what God has done in their life. We can't all relate to that though, right? What we need is somebody whose story we can relate to. And so if you think your story of what God's done in your life is too common, that might be a good thing. Now, another thing is, we might say it's boring. If you are really living the life that God wants you to live, it's not boring. Maybe it's normal for you, but for other people, they see the light of God in you. They see what God has done in your life, through your life, the things that he has you doing. They can see God through us by the way that we live, the story that we have to share of what God's done in us. It doesn't matter if we think our testimony is boring. If we have a story of what God has been doing in our life, it's going to be good if we are truly living our lives for God. And sometimes people, I think, they think, well, my story's boring. And then they tell you, and it's like, what part about that did you think was boring? God is doing these things in your life. And sometimes we just need to be telling people what God is doing through us. He has made us the light of the world. He wants us to be the light of the world, sharing with other people what he's doing in our life, what he's doing around us. It's just amazing. Reading the last part of this again. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds, and glorify your Father in heaven. Because it's not about what we do necessarily. It's about what God is doing through us, what he has us doing as we live for him. And even if it's not something he said specifically, this is what I want you to do. It's just what we do as people who follow God, any of that stuff. That when they see our good deeds, really, they're seeing our Father in heaven. They are seeing God. So all the things that we're doing, it makes a difference. You know, they might not like Holy Hardy, but when he's assigning them homework and stuff. But my hope is, when I'm praying, is that God would see, or that they would see God through me, that they would see how good God is, because God is always working. The Proof of Your Love by King and Country. I like these lyrics. It says, so let my life be the proof of your love. Let my love look like you and what you are made of, how you lived, how you died. Love is sacrifice, the sacrifice that God had for us, all that he has done for us. But that's my prayer is, Lord, let my life look the way that you want it to. That when people see me, that they see what God is doing all around the world. And that's what he wants for all of us. And when we are all doing that, the world gets lit up and people can see how great God is. He is always good, so incredibly good. But I think that's one of the ways that we're supposed to be making disciples throughout the world of all nations, you know, when they see who we are. It is very important to be talking all the things that we need to say, you know, telling people. Because if you're not telling people, you know, you can just live the life that you want to live, but you don't tell anybody that you're a Christian or anything about your church or what's going on in your life, what God's doing. If you just keep all of that a secret, that's not good. You have to live it. But you also have to, you know, share it too. Don't keep it to yourself. And actually, one of my regrets is when I was I was a senior in high school, and the teacher, she was a miserable lady. she really was though. She went to school with nuns, and I don't know. I guess they didn't have a good impact on her. She said she was talking about like creationists in this school. No, and I thought I should have raised my hand. You know, the way the classroom was, I could have done that. I should have just said, "Yeah, actually, I believe in God. You know, I follow Him. I believe that He created this world." I could have done something, but when we just always keep our mouth shut. When we're, you know, maybe living the life that God wants us to live, and maybe, you know, may or may not actually say anything when we have opportunities to say something, sometimes we got to take those opportunities. And I had a conversation recently with somebody, and I was like, there's nothing spiritual at all about what we're talking about and what we're doing. And I was like, no, we're not going to talk about this. And then, boom, they brought it up. I'm like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. Now, it did not look like it was God's timing at all. And then, no, it was God's timing. He has everything worked out just perfectly, like the story of Esther. Go read that story if you haven't read it in a while. You know, it's an amazing story. But all these things that God is doing, but he wants us to be a part of it. Are we willing to be a part of that? How should we be a part of that? Because I know there's always things that I need to do. There's always things that we need to do as we grow closer to him and let him use us. He is the light of the world, and he wants to shine his light through us too. God is amazing. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would help us to live for you. Every single step of the way, whatever it is, whatever situations we're facing, even if we're not, you know, they tell us that we're not supposed to be talking about you, Lord, but in whatever situation, that we would never hide you from the people that are around us, that we would not be too scared to tell people what it is that you've done in our lives. Help us to be willing to talk about you and to live out the lives that you want us to live. Wherever you want us to go, whatever you want us to do, whoever you want us to talk to or be around, you know, sometimes we don't even want to be around certain people, and sometimes those are the people that you want us to be around because they need you. Lord, whatever situations it is that we face, help us to be the light that you want us to be. That when people see us, they wouldn't see simply us, but they would see how amazing you are. That they would see you through us and know that it's not just us being a really nice human being, but that they, when they look at us, they would see there is something more than that. And any conversations that we need to have, Lord, just give us the words. I'm not great at communicating, yet you give me positions to communicate in. But Lord, whatever things that we need, may need to say to people, give us the words and give us the actions. Help us to live the lives that show the proof of your love in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Think of the world burn like a fire in me. I was reading something about they were like, how much do you have to hate a person to like want to never say anything about the one who gives you hope? Like, if God gives us hope, like, how much do you have to hate that person that you're just never going to say anything and let them just go to hell? Like, how much as Christians would we have to hate somebody that we're not going to say anything? Believe it or not, I don't like public speaking. God got me to do public speaking, and he does. It amazes me every time. But when we love people, when we are filled with the love that God has for us, He wants us to share that with people, that they can see who God is. You know, it's not just about where we go when we die, heaven or hell. It's not about that, really. What it's about, I think, is getting God in our lives as soon as possible. You know, He is the hope of the earth. That when we have His hope, we can live every single day from then on, knowing that God is good. He's going to get us through anything. He's going to help us to do anything that's needed, all amazing things. But that's why He wants us to burn like a fire, so that people can see, so that people can hear how great God is. It's not about when we die. It's about having Him now in the way that He wants to transform us. If you don't have that fire and you want that fire, have somebody pray with you. Get me afterwards. Have somebody pray with you that you have that fire. Whether you've been following God for 100 years or not, never before, it doesn't matter. But as long as that we are saying to God, help me to burn like a fire, that I would be the person that you have called me to be, the life that you want me to live. He has amazing plans for us, but we have to let Him do this. We have to seek Him to do these things in us. He's got great plans for every single one of us. It's just how much of that plan are we willing to embrace? How much of Him and all the things that He has in store for us do we want? Are we willing to take? It looks scary, but He has good plans to get us through every challenge that we'll face. Go with God and have a great God-filled week.